Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to My Community Plan featuring Young Money. And I'm Young Money, your host today. Super excited about our conversation about what I call the last tier of the year. Others, we're waiting for October to the last quarter, but essentially we're here to close out the year 2021 strong. So let's get to it. So Christian and Rev are going to be calling in later on to the show. But we're here to talk about the new NIL, check on how that's been going, seeing if any of you have saw any of the commercials that have come out thus far from what we're talking about, the college athletes being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. But in that particular conversation, I found out that Illinois is one of three states that actually prohibit high school athletes from profiting off their NIL. Yeah, I'm going to take a pause there. So for all those who know that we broadcast from Illinois, that's big time for us to be one of three states that prohibit our high school athletes from profiting off their NIL. The other two, Mississippi and Texas. So, man, let's bring in Christian so that way we can get the state's perspective, his perspective. Christian, my boy, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Man, thanks for teeing that up, man. I mean, it's going to be a good show talking about, you know, where these three states fall, getting to hear from some folks off the air, mm-hmm. how they feel about whether or not high school students need to be intentionally thought of as we're building out these processes for the NIL. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And you know, we got a lot to talk about today.
And it's almost, it's like the baton, like, has been picked up for the close of this year. Because if our listeners remember last week when Rev and I discussed just the impact of the millennial voter block, Christian, and the ability for the generation behind us to be better teed up essentially than we were, right? Where it's, I don't know about any other millennial or any other person or any other athlete. When someone gets all the resources before you and you're third, fourth, fifth pick, you don't really feel too wanted. Christian, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it feeds into, I mean, especially when you're thinking about millennials and Generation Z, mm-hmm. you can see it, you know, when it comes to voter turnout, right? You can also see it when it comes to the decline in college applications. Mm-hmm. So Generation Z is learning something that, you know, millennials, I don't want to say millennials were sold a dream, but, you know, think about with college. We were told, you know, you go to college, you get a degree, you know, that's the pathway in which you go to get a good job, stability, earning power. And then we have the financial crisis. And you got a ton of millennials that got degrees, ended up having to stay home longer than intended, aren't working in them, sacked with student debt. And Generation Z looks at that and they say, well, I can start a YouTube channel. I can get busy on TikTok. You know what I mean? Yep. I can look at, you know, different ways to earn. So it's that similar vein. If the generation before gets sold, you know, a bag of goods that ain't no good.
Right.
And, you know, the generation behind gets to see that. I mean, you definitely see it reflected in the way in which they make decisions. And I think the NIL conversation, especially when you're talking, you know, this first generation of college athletes that are going to essentially be money makers. If I'm in high school, even, you know, especially a good high school athlete, that I'm looking at the playing field in Illinois and Mississippi don't have that together.
Man.
Absolutely. That's going to be reflected in decisions.
Let me pause here. 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. 773-763-WCPT. Call in. Join our conversation today. We're intentional around getting your opinion. I mean, because we're discussing if it's the capability of 47 other states allowing 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds to profit off of their name, image, and likeness, meaning they can leverage the popularity that the game has created by ranking fifth graders and fourth graders now and Facebook groups to accentuate and illuminate and expose these periodicals around the scouting of these young athletes. And now you can have businesses, small, tall, big, wide, political, non-political, non-for-profit, for-profit, that can leverage this talent for profit, for a mutually prayerful, a mutually beneficial relationship. That's different. I mean, and for us to now understand that there is no stopping that path where you, as a kid, I remember when you used to think about doing the parents like you do the modeling, how many people have been to a casting call before, or anything of the sort where you were looking to become a commercial professional. And but if you wanted to play sports, it was like a detour. It was seen as this is the way where I am literally looking at long-term gratification. There will be a lot of days where I put in a lot of work and see no return until this possible opportunity years or decades in advance where I'm able to go up against the combine and come out drafted. Or maybe signed and someone overseas sent me for enough for my expenses and monthly income to save. That's completely different. So, we have the phones lighting up. So, Christian, with this opportunity, right? So now think about it from a perspective of grassroots and campaigning. I don't know if you heard specifically, but phone banking, door knocking, managing databases are tasks that a 15, 16, 17-year-old are capable of doing. Do you see that as a direct connection, and or how would you connect that to an NIL opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, there's a loose connection there. So the reality is in electoral politics, especially when you're talking from a grassroots level, when you're running a campaign, you're looking for validators, you're looking for surrogates. I think what you're talking about is potentially with NIL, youth, not only college athletes, but high school athletes, what you're talking about is a future in where, a high schooler or a college athlete has made themselves a profitable business using their name, image, and likeness, which automatically means they have an audience. It automatically means they have a market. Now, if you are an influencer, whether it be on social media or in your local community, because you're a fairly good football player or you can handle the rock, if I'm somebody that's running for office, and there's a target block of voters, specifically young voters, that I want to help get turned out, absolutely I'm reaching out to you to have a conversation to figure out what does it look like for you to be a surrogate? What does it look like for you to validate me in the communities in which you have influence? So the offshoots from where, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks back when we talked about the NIL earlier, where the potential offshoot opportunities for businesses, business strategies are almost infinite in what we'll see come up as we continue to see how young people engage with this.
Man, so look, extremely excited to get to those type of opportunities and conversation once we come back after this short break, because this is Lottery Peak Digital presents My Community Plan Foundation featuring your boy, Young Money. And we'll be back after this short break.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Socot Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Socot Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
YWCA Metropolitan has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill open positions in their South Suburban location. No experience required. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
Welcome back to My Community Plan Foundation featuring Young Money. And we are here with Christian Perry. How you doing, sir?
And it's a beautiful morning to be above ground. I'm doing great, Dave.
Man, excellent. Great. And the Rev has joined us. Because, I mean, I think this conversation was too hot for him not to touch on in on. So, Rev, thank you for joining and calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show. Christian, how you doing, my brother?
What'd you say, Rev? I'm super fantastic and grateful.
Every single day. Listen, I just had to come in with two things. One, I think about Kevin Garnett. Mm-hmm. If he were playing in high school ball in Chicago right now, how could we not allow him to benefit from his name, image, and likeness?
Correct.
And then I think about Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
To the question of athletes as influencers, influencing a voting bloc. Impossible. In fact, there's a salient argument that his failure to endorse a candidate in North Carolina resulted in Lindsey Graham keeping his seat.
Mm.
No, go ahead. But to the point of Illinois not allowing high school students to benefit from the name, image, and likeness is a problem. That's a problem. I imagine
Let me jump in there, Rev and Dave, just for the, because I know we got really smart listeners. I don't want us getting fact-checked, lit up in the comments. Let's be clear about the difference between Illinois, Mississippi, and I believe Missouri, Dave, is the other state that's in question. So here's what's interesting in the NIL bill that we passed here in Illinois. The language is specific only to college athletes. Unlike the other two states that go out of their way to name restrictions for high school athletes, in Illinois, the NIL legislation applies specifically to college athletes. The IHSA's bylaws are super vague when it comes to high school students being confirmed. There's different rules around dollar amounts, but mm-hmm. as people have dug into the weeds of this, What the fairest answer to say is that what we don't know is if next season when the IHSA is, I mean, now we're in it, if there are students that make money, we don't know if they're, you know, if the IHSA will come in and say, not in Illinois. So that's what's interesting about
it. So you're telling me that Lottery Pick Digital can sign and provide financial incentives to our members of the Legacy Club and be okay, or test that theory?
Yep. So I'll give you the exact language. So
Okay.
And this is from a spokesperson from the Illinois High School Association.
Hold on. Before you do that. 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. 773-763-WCPT.
Before you get that exact language, why don't we have the spokesperson on the program? Why don't we see if we can't get them to come on the program?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely should reach out to IHSA and see what it looks like. But this is what they gave to an interview to a Fox affiliate. He says, generally, the IHSA rules prevent students from accepting anything valued at more than $75 based on athletics. With that said, depending on how quote-unquote sponsorship is structured, there is a chance that it could be allowed. That's Matt Troha, the IHSA's assistant executive director. So the interesting thing is that sponsorship is not defined. And Dave, me and you actually talked about this a few days ago. So the gray area is, how smart will the people that are cutting these checks to these high school athletes, how smart do they have to be to understand there's in Illinois as of right now, there's some wiggle room into what sponsorship means and to what you're sponsoring the athlete for.
See, and that's the, because you're, and I love this conversation and me in here with the engineer, is because this is, I have a beautiful soccer lottery pick collection shirt on now. How you like it, Dylan? Is it cool? I appreciate it. And I would love for to be able to provide this and other things to, again, the Legacy Club members, right? With them to do their homework or to come back with their time management principles done, basically facilitating an opportunity for them to leverage their name, image, and likeness, as well as their opportunity to learn how to create more enterprise or entrepreneurial opportunities in the future, using their name, image, and likeness, which is our key point of that particular deal. So, I look forward to us going deeper into this, Christian, because that's listeners. I really want you all to be able to hold us accountable to the opportunities that our guest or that we and our host create using our resources to be able to see something stand up and something stand up that's impact. And that has impact measurable to the demographic that we're reaching, which is young athletes and their parents. And that even their parents or their guardians changes, but everyone has an understanding of what it is to raise a young student athlete at that particular space. And so, Christian, what's your thoughts from as a parent, right, raising a young student athlete? And what would you see? Based on in the household that he's growing up in with what I believe two lottery picks, yourself and your wife.
So as a parent, I mean, my initial thought is I want every opportunity afforded to my child. I was afforded opportunities. Me and my wife try to make sure that we afford even more opportunities for him to figure out, how he succeeds, what that looks like. These kids, like Dave, so me and you, we are the social media generation, right? We were in high school. We were in college as Facebook and Twitter and Instagram were getting their legs.
Right, correct.
Right? So we knew life before. My 9-year-old doesn't know life before any of this. He can't process it, right? And he's not even on social, but here's the context. The context is the way in which, technology, how to use it, how it makes sense in his everyday life. It comes natural to his generation in a way that we still, I don't think, understand what it means 10 years from now.
Right.
That being said, when my son is in high school, five, six years from now, whether he's, a star basketball athlete, whether he's, star track runner or not, if there's an opportunity for my son to start earning income because of something he's able to do or a skill that he learns, at 14, 15, 16, 17, I want that opportunity for him. you know, especially being, you know, a black boy in America trying to make his way, more opportunity, the better.
Man, this is, I mean, a great transition at this market before we head into the next break. Because, again, how often does or are people or perceived group protected from opportunities because of the fear of what they'll do with it? Right. How often have we or you been someone that identified a group that could use an opportunity, but you deemed that opportunity too great or that person will mishandle this? So it's for their best interest. Stop. I mean, and it's essentially what we're doing by not providing clarity, right? Because as a group, and I'm speaking personally, as a group, it's as much as I and we like to create rules and legislation, because it's something that we don't get a lot of opportunity to do. When we don't, we would much rather the lines be clear. Because if we're close, it's foul.
Absolutely. I mean, what you're speaking to, Dave, so I'll put on, you know, my hat as a political scientist. This is something that I share when I have the ear of a legislator or when I'm trying to educate a community member on how to advocate for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is, oversights or undersights in policymaking always harm marginalized groups the most, mm-hmm. Period. So, you know, oversights and undersights in policymaking do not harm majority white culture as much as they harm black and brown folks, Native Americans, Asian Americans, low income Americans. When those folks are not specifically thought of in the drafting of policy, that's when the most harm is done. Now, to my friends in Springfield, my personal opinion is this conversation was moving so fast. I mean, Illinois and California pretty much leading the way,
yep,
on making this a national issue. I do believe that what took place is a human error, an oversight.
Yeah.
Because Illinois didn't do what Missouri did, which is go out of their way
to
say no.
Right.
Exactly. So I think what this becomes is, you know, for our listeners and, you know, even folks in the space that have a vested interest in making sure that it's clear, like you're saying, is during the next General Assembly, you know, we got to have a legislator be interested to say, oh, hey, we need to add this to the language of this statute because we weren't clear enough. You know, we need to give IHSA the permission to not be punitive to these athletes, not if, but when high school athletes, especially you're talking Chicago basketball, Midwest football, is going to happen.
And even in that, because the athletes are growing, they're changing. They've added esports officially as a state tournament at IHSA. So lottery pick digital esports tournaments, leagues, and teams will be here fall 22.
Wow.
Fall 22, because we're going to make sure that representation is available, that opportunities are available, because I feel the mojo that we've done behind the scenes led to NBA 2K having a state championship. NBA 2K will be a state championship. You can be a 2K state champion. How about that? How about that?
That's wild. That's wild.
Right. And again, now, with that, those are sponsorship opportunities. For me, I see someone who can play esports, especially the computer-based ones. I mean, you can code something for me. You can manage some of our digital properties. You can maintain them.
That's where we were talking. That's where the rubber meets the road, right? Is that a job, right? If you're coding, if you're training folks, is that a job outside of what you do as an e-sport athlete or as a baseball player? Because if so, then that, you know, the IHSA is very clear on that. That's 100% fine. What is not clear yet is when you're receiving income and that income is tied to quote-unquote sponsorship, but that's the part that the IHSA bylaws are unclear. The NIL legislation does not specifically name.
And we'll touch on that when we come back, because this is My Community Plan Foundation featuring Young Money, and we are here with Christian Perry. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you looking for a new career? YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill several roles in their South Suburban location. No experience required. They're seeking to fill the following positions: assembly operator, automation technician, molding operator, quality inspector, setup technician, forklift driver, cycle counter, material handler. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf at ywcachicago.org.
The My Community Plan featuring Young Money show has invested into you with our community resource wallet at digitaleconomyschool.com, where you can take courses around digital trade, digital equity, and digital currency. Check out information now at digitaleconomyschool.com, where you will get ideas, assets, and information for the new digital economy. It's our investment into you at digitaleconomyschool.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to My Community Plan Foundation featuring Young Money. And we're here with Christian Perry. Thank you for calling in, sir. How you doing?
Oh, it's a great day to have a great day, man. Glad to be here with you.
Man, so leaving off that cliffhanger, one of my goals is to every student athlete, and I'm going to say this on air, because there's some people listening, but not everybody, they have an LLC day. And I'll just use that term loosely because people know what LLC means generally. But essentially what I'm saying, a day where they're launching their own business. If you're able to profit off your name, image, and likeness, you should own the business that owns that name, image, and likeness, that property. And because of that, every deal should come in as an engagement with your company. And from there, now we sit firmly still in that, I say gray area, because it's not a job. Because we're not really here to try to hire these young men for jobs, unless it's an apprentice in a space where they need a long-term level of training. Right, in specific things. So then now they'll probably get paid in a manner where it's engaged. But even those type of things can still be, especially an apprenticeship, can be structured as a contract for services, right, for an engaging one's company. So from there, if that's something that your young man starts at 10, Or 13, we say, is LLC age. And now every 13-year-old student athlete, someone sponsors them to start an LLC or a S-Corp, whatever type of corporation, depending on how popular they are and how many investors want to start at 13. And then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the NCAA is very clear, right? A high school athlete is able to maintain their amateur status as long as they're not getting paid to play, right? So I won't say never, but in the foreseeable future, we don't see a time where, you know, Homewood Flossmore is going to be cutting checks to athletes.
Hey, here's right. Your $30,000 salary to come here for 2 years.
Right.
It's not even a 4-year salary.
Right. With taxpayer dollars.
Right.
That's not going to be a thing. The question becomes, and here's the thing, as we're having this conversation, Dave, and I'm thinking, you know, school just started back, right? My son's first week was just this past week.
Mine too.
A lot of the suburbs might be back already, right? Mm-hmm. So with that, I'm fairly certain, you know, if it doesn't happen before we get a representative from IHSA on the program, I'm fairly certain we probably got about 4 to 6 months before the IHSA ends up making changes, you know, to their bylaws or this coming up, you know, in some way, shape, or fashion. Because, like I said, Illinois just has too many big-name high schools with too many prominent athletes.
So
this conversation won't be one that happens very soon.
So that timeline is essentially right at either the end or the beginning of March Madness for Illinois high school sports, right? Basketball. It would completely miss the football season,
Yeah. Which it might happen. That's what I'm saying. This is why it's interesting, because, like you said, football, they had their first. Most football already have their first
two games. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and we haven't heard any chatter, right? So the question is, are there high school athletes making money right now in Illinois? We don't know.
The
estimation is probably yes.
I mean, when you have a guy, J.J. Taylor, who's just named top four in the country in the 2023 class, I believe, he's a rising junior. And you have three in the top 60 with Darren Ames and Jeremy Fierce. Actually, one grew up in the South Suburbs and the other played with his dad. Those are the type of young men that have at least a level of success to promote, right, to start to leverage, to grow. And there's even more guys from Illinois in basketball who are ranked in the top 100. And then when you get
let me ask you this, Dave, because I hear you, and this is funny. When I was coaching, you know, college basketball, and even before, you know, you have your pulse on this way more than I do now. Who are the high school athletes coming out? Who's in the top 50? Who's in the top 10? Here's what's interesting. You and I both know, you know, LeBron is very vocal about his story. KG, it's not like Michael Jordan came from a six-figure household. There's a very real element when you talk about some of the most prominent football, baseball, and basketball athletes, at least from the black community, that when they reach the pinnacle, they have no problem sharing the story of the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How hard it was for my parents, what we didn't have, what we couldn't buy. And it sometimes was a roadblock for a lot of these college athletes because they were so ready to help provide a life that no longer was bound by poverty for their parents, for their siblings. Mm. Let me ask you this. There's some, and you know this, like Chicago players have an edge, New York players have a chip. Let me ask you this. As we think long term, 10 years down the line, if as a high school athlete or a college athlete, I'm able to amass not even $1 million, but let's just say, you know, a five-figure income, enough to impact my household and lift us out of poverty. Am I still as hungry at 18, 19, 20? Am I still, you know, do we miss out on a Derrick Rose or a LeBron James? If, you know, because that's not the reason why they play.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's an incredible incentive when you do have a little bit of talent.
Yeah.
You know that I can change the world for my family.
Using
if I'm able to
talent.
Do that at 16, 17, am I working as hard in practice at 19? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, I guess I want you to agree with that.
So that's the transition, which I think that separates the pros from amateurs, one, and the people who separates the goals, right? Because speaking from someone who didn't grow up in poverty, my goal wasn't to be an NBA. My goal was to do what I do today. So decisions were made accordingly, but that was because of my goal, not because of my hunger. Because while playing, you still gonna get it. I believe.
Right.
It's now when if someone is making it, it almost entices more. But that's a conversation of why the dynamics and the success and the need of what we feel here about the iSport program is to have that engagement with both the parents and the child, because that's a whole lot of new dynamics that come into play when the kid now a kid, right? And I say that a kid is a breadwinner while there's still active breadwinners in the house. And for a kid, how do you transition from entitlement early enough to see that not only am I supposed to and can help, I want to help at that level. And then now, once I make that connection from a supporter, where is the disconnection for independence and still support for growth as a family to be able to create what you and I have created?
No, that's, you know, you're talking about the challenges that will present itself in the home. I'm going to throw college athletes a bone. I do not agree with how Coach Nick Saban engaged with this question at the beginning of the college football season. However, he did raise a really interesting point, and he probably did so unintentionally. Me and my wife, because
could you give context? Could you got a few minutes? Could you give context of what he said?
Yeah, so Nick Saban, in an interview early at the beginning of the college football season, was very clear that with his displeasure of, you know, this the NCAA coming down and saying, you know, hey, this is a thing. You know, you can earn money and still be an amateur. Because he was worried about the dynamic that it would create within his locker room when, you know, not by accident, the quarterback is making $1 million or $2 million a year, and the offensive lineman that protect him might be making $10,000.
Correct.
Right? And he has no control over what that dynamic,
exactly,
you know, how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in college athletics, you know this, Dave, in college athletics, it's about how much can you get a young man to buy into whatever you're selling them.
Yep.
To do what you need them to do on the field or on the court.
So, let me jump in there, just because called your point, because it's generally more accepted when someone has money from their parents, because none of us could control and impact that dynamic. But it's different when we out here doing the same thing and grinding at the same level and you getting cut a fatter check.
Right. So,
generally that's saved for the pros, but you know you're a pro now. So everything that comes with being in the NBA, no matter you first or last, is that's a little bit different. But then college, you literally are a nobody from now somebody's making $1 million. Like that's a difference of a spectrum. But again, how many people making $1 million at a school where there's nobody? Maybe out of Alabama. So at least if you're on an Alabama team, you still. So it's perspective. Like it's whether high major, mid majors, low majors, and what those dynamics are and how you do it. So, but again, it's why iSport is prepared for all those conversations at least to work through.
But what iSport can't, this is what they can't, and this is where I'm interested to hear your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the NBA, a lot of times coaches won't admit this, but the reason why it's sometimes hard to coach these players is because you're trying to coach an athlete that's making, you know, 10 times your salary, right?
Facts.
You're trying to coach somebody, you know, and there's a power dynamic in play, right? Economics allow you to exert power in no matter what field you work in.
Correct.
So that is the rub. As a college athlete, you know, it's already hard. You're an adolescent. It's already hard sometimes for coaches, you know, to get these college athletes to, you know, bend and shape and form. But if I'm a quarterback at 18 years old and me and Nick Saban are making similar salaries, my goodness.
But I think, well, at this time, because he's making so much more than what the college athlete is, that's a power dynamic with that is a pedestal that does need to be chopped down a few blocks. And
I'm with you.
And that's again, because I was the player that challenged a rule of thought once I became a D1 athlete and a veteran D1 athlete. At that point, I at least knew my job well enough where you was going to have to be excellent at chores and or find help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Irregardless that you literally made $100,000 more than I could even figure out to scrum up to eat with at the time, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a level of empowerment, and but at the college level, because they make so much, especially in basketball and football, like that is, these are just the unintended consequences that's coming with a necessary action. And we have to make sure that we have these discussions and we start to aggregate resources such as iSport, such as the Legacy Club, such as My Community Plan Foundation Next Gen, such as the Renaissance Organization and the fellowships that you guys are doing and apprenticeships. Those things that give a path to channel the energy that's going to come from these things, because you're going to compete still. You're still going to want to be a college athlete. And we'll get to the action after we drop this for this last break. This is My Community Plan Foundation featuring Young Money. And we're here with Christian Perry. Having a beautiful conversation. We'll be right back with you.
YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill open positions in their South Suburban location. No experience required. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Saccott Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Saccott Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I feel like when the start of a game, you're about to get called out in the starter lineup, and that song Thunder starts hitting, you start ramping up. And because this segment of the show is really about taking so many different ideas and drilling it down to how can we get some measurable impact out of this, whether that's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Like, how can we come back to you all or in our conversations and say, oh yeah, we talked about that last year, this is a success of that, and look what we're doing because of that conversation. Christian, that's somewhere I always appreciate your vigor and vitality, in not only getting the right information, but being receptive to the follow-up and accountability from there.
Yeah, no, Dave. I mean, this conversation, I mean, I like exactly how you framed it in the last spot. You know, unintended consequences from a necessary action. Mm-hmm. So not only, you know, from my example of college coaches having to figure out how to navigate athletes that earn decent amounts of money, mm-hmm. as I think about, you know, why I loved coaching, as I think about why I love the game of basketball, why I love baseball, you know, we're a sports family. At the end of the day, this is what we know for the arc of human history. Money has the potential to corrupt. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, when I think about unintended consequences for necessary actions, what are, you know, Lottery Pick Digital, what you guys are doing with that sport is definitely one of them. But how do we continue to have conversations for guardrails?
Yes.
The vultures at bay to mm-hmm. keep, you know, the reality of what money and power brings to things, so that IHSA March Madness basketball still puts me in a car to go drive and watch these young high school athletes do their thing.
Man, right. And I think that's when I pick up the Energy Institute hat. Mm. When we look to hold legislators accountable, make sure that they have the content that they need for those conversations. When we're replying to RFIs or requests for proposals from state senators regarding guardrails for industries, we participate. with a diverse mind, but more important, like how, what are the situations that I would be in unique to me that no one else is here, and make sure I speak about those and talk about those. And it's as such, even so, Christian, because our engineer had a question, Dylan, your question, because I think this may also lend to the conversation.
Yeah, actually, that's a great segue, because, you know, we were talking about earlier how we weren't sure if people could just get paid a salary, and, you know, what dynamics would shift if, you know, a child who was once a child now becomes a primary bread earner. And so what I'm kind of wondering, and I guess it's just kind of a free flowing thought, in that, you know, can different individuals say they want to start an LLC with this child? You know, can they make it so that it's almost a class, in a sense, like, you are your own business. You are an entrepreneur now. Is there ways that you can invest in different assets, right, that might not be tangible now, right? When you're 13, 14, you don't know what that is, you know. But, you know, having that asset when you become 20, and now that it's grown in exponential value, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I think that there are ways in which, to answer your question as well, I think there are ways in which you can keep the vultures at bay, but I do think that it's like there are a lot of different factors, and the individuality of the person is going to change how the outcome is.
Yeah.
Well, that's a phenomenal question, Dylan. Mm-hmm. I mean, to that question, yeah. Like, I mean, we do it as parents. I mean, I'm sure Dave does it. I do it. I got an investment fund for my son, you know, 529, to that me and, you know, my wife put into. And how awesome would it be, right, if, you know, he could at 12, 13 formulate his own investment portfolio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even with that, though, the question for me is always, you know, we'll go on the other end of the age spectrum. Seniors have the advent of the Attorney General and the Secretary of State being their watchdogs for scammers, right? Because seniors get scammed. Yep. So there are all kind of government programs that protect them. Mm-hmm. How deep are we going to have to think to protect 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds? And then what's the line between protection and keeping them from opportunity? You get where I'm going, Dave?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just stake the conversation of perspective that we at Lottery Pick Digital come from in this conversation is we provide advisory services, sponsorships, and our partnership with the Cognitive Focus Center to create an iSport program, which is built around mental health, which is what we start most of our, if not all of our athletes, clients, sponsors, however you engage with us. So that way we know where you're at, how well, or what's the opportunities that you have, or what's the recommendations of therapy, whether that's on the court or in a therapy room, but most importantly, what type of group you're around. The sponsorships and an advisory is really looking at now and how do we helping leverage our products with you and your family, but more importantly, how do we help you manage that generational transfer? And within what you're asking, Christian, I know I'm not, and I know you're not the only, but there's multiple of people that I will say we included that have a diverse field of thought, experiences, and projections of opportunities to be able to engage and sit at the table in this conversation. Even Rev, so Rev, you have a question or a comment, because I know this is something that we've talked about participating in this oversight in advocacy space.
So the interesting thing, and thank you for the topic matter. The interesting thing is when we talk about LLCs personally, I prefer S corporations.
Gotcha.
Because those taxable rates are based on your personal income, and if you have no personal income, voila. Mm-hmm. So, I think two things. One, when you create those things for young people, they shield the family from any challenges that may occur. So the liability, hence limited liability, and the corporate veil. Mm-hmm. All those things work to the benefit of the families. But even before I go too deep in those weeds, I think this is another opportunity that we get Jay Vincent back on the line, Minority Business Supply Chain, because that's one of the things they do as well, great partners of My Community Plan Foundation. Mm-hmm. But I think out of this conversation, the way you know it's good is not only can we replicate it, but it grows different lanes. One lane, get someone from the organization that Christian reference, get him on the program, and then get someone else on the program to talk about the framework and how that benefits families and shields families. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Excellent. Christian, last words. You got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are simply, you know, this is here. This is coming. I guess my last words, not so much to athletes, more so to the parents, because that's where this conversation kind of transitioned. Mm-hmm. Start planning. Start thinking how you need to engage, whether it be with Lottery Pick Digital, whether it be with My Community Plan Foundation, because the resources at the front end of this won't be plentiful. So stay tuned in to this program, our Facebook, wherever you can find us, because this will be pretty much ground zero in the state of Illinois when it comes to resources about this NIL, young folks, the whole apparatus.
Matt, that's excellent. Our Legacy Club, we young athletes who are top players in the country, but younger, are learning and growing, journaling and discussing time management, the priorities. We're going through the priorities that we introduced here, I want to say 2 months ago, Ref, and it's awesome to see them changing their sleeping habits, using index cards to create goals for their high school perspective. And I mentioned that because there's only a limited amount of space even there, and to further accentuate Christian's conversation, where there's not a lot of room when change occurs as to even be a pioneer or part of that initial group, because people don't know. So you have to make a decision to engage and be a part of the transition or to reap what those benefits are. And here, not only in the state, right, even with the NBA 2K opportunity, with the change of this NIL, with the what we are even discussing, because there will be a time after today that high school athletes in Illinois will be able to profit off there. Clearly, there won't be restrictions. There won't be conversations. And so how much faith and how much effort and prayer and that you put into positioning yourself to participate and be able to say, hey, I saw where we changed the health and the mental health of families and changed the trauma and minimized and mitigated the trauma that individuals faced. And so that's the work. That's what the community plan, that My Community Plan, has set out to impact communities and turn it into themselves to self-sustainable that have been blighted. And Lottery Pick is here to accentuate that, but specifically with the athletes and their parents. So come back next week, because we're going to build on this conversation that makes sure that not only is the generation protected, but they leverage those resources for further community development so we can exponentially grow in these communities. Talk to you soon. This is Young Money, and we'll be right back next week, 7 a.m.
The preceding program, My Community Plan Foundation, featuring Young Money, was sponsored by Lottery Pick Digital, LLC, and to the extent applicable, their guests. The views